Everybody hear me? How was I? I'm trying to figure out if my mic was on or not. There we go. Can everybody hear me now? There we go. Now we're talking. Well, first, before I get started, let me just say, I know everybody's been kind of giving thanks, but I want to give a little thanks myself for not only just the opportunity to be in this church, to continue to preach as part of this ministry that I'm a part of, but also to be in Dr. O'Neill's church for a change. Dr. O'Neill's has grown to be one of my spiritual mentors, and so to be in his church at this time, doing this sermon for you all with him watching, is a really incredible experience. It's also really, really nerve-wracking because I'm used to going to churches and people don't really remember me after I leave, but I see Dr. O'Neill just about every day on campus, so the nerves are just a little bit higher than what they probably should be for a Sunday, which is kind of why I need you all. Like, if I say something, do something in the middle of this sermon that you all agree with, feel free to send out an amen, raise a hand, do a headstand. I really don't, doesn't matter what you do, I just need to make sure that y'all are with me so that it kind of helps my nerves just a little bit. But the thought that I wanted to present to you all this morning, it's a thought that God has placed on my heart a number of times whenever I go to do a sermon at a church. And people have asked me sometimes, they say, well, why do you rehash certain sermons? Why do you rehash certain thoughts? Why don't you just do a new sermon for every Sunday? And my answer is always the same. It's because I'm a firm believer that every time you open up the Word and you get into the Word, God is always teaching us something new all the time. Even if you've read a particular verse 100 different times, everybody can quote John 3:16 from heart, but I believe that if you really study the Word and you get into the Word, you can read John 3:16 100 different times and you get 100 new thoughts from it every time, because I believe that God is always showing us something. So that's why. And if you do have a Bible with you, I want you all to join me. We're going to be digging into the Old Testament this morning. We're going to be digging into the Old Testament. Turn with me to the book of Judges. We're going to be in Judges this morning. Judges chapter 2. To be exact, and we're going to be starting in verse 10. So I'll give you all a second to find that real quick. Judges chapter 2, verse 10, starting in verse 10. We're going to be talking about something this morning that I know a lot of non-believers will struggle with this, but I also wanted this sermon to be a little bit about the believers too. Because what I want to talk about, I feel like, is so crucially important when you're, before you're a follower of Christ, and certainly during. But Judges chapter 2, starting in verse 10, if you're there, say amen. All right, Judges chapter 2, starting in verse 10, the Word of God says this: when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which He had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, so He delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them, and He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Whenever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked and obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hands of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppress them and harass them. That's all we care to read. If you would join me once again in just a quick moment of prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. We're thankful, Lord, for the spirit that we've already felt in this place with the songs that have been sung and the testimony that have been given. And Lord, I just pray right now on this stage, the words that I speak right now would not be my words, but they would be the words that you want to speak through me. And Lord, through those words that you speak through me, I pray right now in this place, I pray that if there is somebody here with a struggle or a burden on their life, Lord, I pray that something I say or something I do or something that you do through me would be the thing that finally breaks through to their heart and they come to a point where they can cry out to you, Lord, and ask you for help. Lord, once again, we just thank you so much for who you are, for what you've done. Forgive us, Lord, of where we've fallen, come short, where we give up and where we give in. Just help us to be the disciples you want us to be and bless this service as we continue to go forward. Lord, we thank you. We love you. I pray all of these things by your name and for your glory. And everybody said, amen. The thought that I wanted to take this morning is something that had been is something that I thought about a few times and I've really molded over and I'm constantly picking out new things about what it means. But the basis for what I want to talk about this morning with you all is very simple. What does it mean to seek God? What does it mean to seek God? Because I feel like when we ask these questions, everybody's got different answers. And sometimes we answer and the answer is not what the Scripture would consider properly seeking the Lord. Now in Judges, we're following the Israelites once again. They're in the promised land. They've been delivered out of the wilderness just as God had promised. They're in the promised land. But at this point, something has happened to the Israelites. If you go back to verse 9 in the book of Judges, 2 verse 9, Joshua has died at this point. Joshua, the leader of the Israelites that they had been looking up to for so long, has passed away. So we now have a leaderless generation of Israelites in the promised land, and we now have a new generation that the Bible says have come up and they do not know the Lord or the things that He has done for the Israelites. And I wondered why that was. The Bible doesn't get into too many specifics about what the cause of this sudden rebellion was. We can interpret it in a bunch of different ways. I did find something interesting. Depending on what version of the Bible you're looking at when you read that verse, some versions interpret it as there rose up a generation that did not acknowledge the Lord or the things that He had done for Israel. And when we put that word acknowledge into the Scripture, then it starts to change the way that we look at what's going on here at this point in time in the Bible. So we have a leaderless generation of Israelites that don't know the Lord. They're not acknowledging the Lord and the things that He has done. And because of that, they have stopped seeking after God. That's what's happening here. Not only are they not seeking God, the one that promised to bring them out of Egypt and bring them through the wilderness and put them in the promised land, they have now decided to start following these new gods that the other tribes of the land have been worshiping since before they got there. And that is a problem, and that is where I want to take my thought. There is a proper way to seek God, but I cannot help but wonder if we know what that really means. What does it mean to truly seek after God? What can we learn from the mistakes of the Israelites in this chapter? And I've written down 3 points that I think truly helps us understand what it means to seek after God. And the first point that I wrote down was, seeking God means that you are seeking Him by your own effort, not somebody else's. In a lot of ways, Joshua's passing could not have come at a worse time for the Israelites Because as I said, Joshua was the one that the Israelites had looked up to. He was the moral and lawful authority for that group that they turned to. And Joshua was also their source of spiritual accountability at this time. And when Joshua passed away, the Israelites had essentially lost the one point of spiritual accountability that they had. When Joshua was alive, the Israelites were seeking God and they were serving Him. But when Joshua died, it all stopped. And that is what I wanted to take my first thought from. If you truly claim to be a follower of God, if you are truly seeking after Him, you are seeking after God because you want to seek Him. You want to seek Him. Someone didn't have to tell you to seek Him yourself. If you are truly seeking after God, it's not because mom and dad told you to. They might have helped, but you didn't rely on mom and dad all the time to be that source of spiritual accountability. You didn't rely on your husband, your wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, your friends, whatever else. You're seeking God because you want to. And I'm not trying to dismiss having people in your life that can help guide you on this journey, but after a while, you have to be the one to take the reins of your own faith. You have to be the one that says, okay, mom and dad have carried me this far. Now it's time that I picked up the load and I started to take it because this is my faith. And my faith is going to determine what happens to me later on in my life, not my mom's faith, my family's faith, friends' faith. I've heard my pastor say this many times in my own home church. He's always said, you cannot be grandfathered into the kingdom of God. Do you believe that? You cannot be grandfathered, grandmothered, mothered, fathered, whatever else. Mom and dad can't get you to heaven. Your pastor can't get you to heaven as much as he would like to. If Dr. O'Neill had that power, he'd be saving souls every single day because I know what kind of man he is, but he can't because Dr. O'Neill had to take control of his faith too. There came a point in his life where he had to say, this is now my faith to do with what I need, with what I want, and I can either pick it up myself or I can just leave it and not touch it again. And this is what the Israelites have done. They don't have a spiritual accountability anymore. They put all of their faith in Joshua, and now that Joshua's gone, they have nobody to look up to, in addition to the new generation that has come up that does not acknowledge what God had done for them or the past generations. Second point that I wanted to throw out, seeking Christ means that you continue to seek Him even after He's confirmed His promises to you. Did you know that when you get saved, it does not mean that your life gets any easier? Did you know that when you get saved, you're still going to have to deal with a whole lot of things in this world that are just going to make you mad or sad or frustrated? It happens. Just because God has delivered on His promise does not mean that you get to go and serve somebody else. But that's what the Israelites did. No spiritual accountability, no one to look up to. The new generation has risen up. And now, because God has delivered the Israelites into the promised land, just like He said, for this new generation, that's where it stops. Right here, this is the life. This is what we were promised. God has done what He's supposed to do. Now let's go find something different. How often do we do the same thing, church? How often does God deliver on something that we have prayed for and prayed for and prayed for, and when it finally does come, we're like, okay, God did His job. Let's move on to something else. It happens. It has happened. We're looking at it right here. And I told you about the different translations saying that these Israelites did not acknowledge what God had done for the past generations. Because that was something that God did for their moms and their dads and their grandmothers and their grandfathers. Now this new generation has come up and they're just like, okay, what's God doing for me now? And since they thought that they had everything that they needed because they thought that they had been delivered into the promised land, God has now outlived His usefulness. It's time to go on to the next best thing. Let's go serve these new gods that these tribes have been worshiping all this time. Why don't we go seek after them? There's something about them that's better. There's something about them that's better than God. So let's go talk about them. And that's the third point that I wanted to bring out. Seeking God, if you are truly seeking God, means that you do not get distracted by the things in this world just because they seem like they're better. Now, don't get me wrong, church. We live in 2019, we live in a world that has given us all kinds of different things to seek. The technological advancements that we've made over the years, the advancements that we've made in medicine, in film, in music. We've got a whole world and infinite possibilities of things to seek. Because if I'm being truthful, some of the things that this world offers is pretty cool. And it appeals to us, and it appeals to what we need at that particular moment. And we start seeking those things instead. But the difference between those two things, the difference is it's always temporary. Eventually, your phone is going to need to be replaced. Eventually, your car is going to need to be replaced. Your house, your clothes, your money, doesn't matter. The point is that it has to be changed because it's temporary and there's improvements that have got to be made on it. And we've got to correct this problem and we've got to correct that problem. But if we are truly seeking God, that means we know that God, there is no problems. And we seek Him because God is perfect and His ways are perfect. And we don't get caught up in the world. We don't get caught up in the distractions because the newest iPhone looks cool. That's what it means to seek God, church. We don't get so caught up in the temporary things just because they look better for a little while. Do you know why the world is in such a mess like it is right now? It's because we've started seeking those temporary things and now we're trapped. Why, Jake, why am I not satisfied with the things of this world? Why am I bouncing from man to man, from woman to woman, from paycheck to paycheck, from car to car, house to house? Why am I not satisfied? Because it's all temporary. Because its life is destined to end at some point. Its usefulness is going to run out. And when that happens, if you're not seeking God, you are going to go on to the next best thing until that thing's usefulness has been lived out, and then you got to go to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And it's a trap, church. It's a trap. But maybe you're here and you're thinking, well, What if I still decide not to seek Him after all of this? You could. But if God's Word teaches us anything in Judges, it's that not seeking God and seeking everything but is a recipe for disaster every single time. And sometimes the destruction doesn't even come from God, but sometimes it comes from ourselves. In Judges, God intervened and He started delivering the Israelites to their enemies, and all of these different hardships came upon the Israelites because God allowed it to. But church, sometimes the destruction comes from within. Not from God, it comes from within, from what goes on here and what goes on here. And sometimes the destruction's not immediate. In the Bible, the destruction was immediate. God immediately delivered the Israelites into the hands of their enemies, and they brought about all these hardships. But for us, the destruction can sometimes happen in a few weeks, in a few months. Maybe it'll even take you a few years. But the destruction is coming. As a criminal justice major, I've taken a lot of classes that have got to deal with people that abuse certain substances, drugs, alcohol, it doesn't matter. And every time I read about these people, it always starts out the same. It didn't hurt me at first. But that's the thing, isn't it? It didn't hurt me, comma, at first. But then you start to get attached to that thing. You start to get attached to that substance and that person and that car. And just like I said earlier, when you start to get attached, when you start to seek those things, and you're not seeking after God the way that He says you need to be seeking after Him, you're on your way to destruction every single time. It doesn't matter, because it's all temporary and it's going to run out eventually. We're doomed to cycling back and forth between the good and the bad. The Israelites did the very same thing. The Bible says that the Israelites, they called out to God and they said, "Lord, save us from these hardships. Lord, deliver us from the hands of our enemies." And then when God did, what did the Israelites do? Right back to the same thing. They go back to serving these new gods that the other tribes have been worshiping. And God had to once again chastised the Israelites. And then they cried out to Him again. They said, "God, we're sorry." And then God delivered them again. But then they just went back to the same old thing. Church, it's a cycle. And if we're not seeking the things that matter, if we're not seeking what's permanent, if we're not seeking God, you are in a cycle right now. And the cycle, I promise you, is going to lead you to your own destruction. It happens every single time. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but the destruction is coming. But here is the good news. I was reading back through this chapter, and I read verse 18, Judges 2, verse 18. And I read the part where it says, "For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning." Church, do you understand? Can you fathom how much love God has in His heart for you right now at this moment? Can you fathom how thirsty God is to have a relationship with you right now at this moment? I love that verse. Because even when the Israelites continued, God's chosen people, by the way, even when they continued to be disobedient and rebellious and they started serving all these other gods and doing all of these other things, the Bible says that God had pity on them. He had mercy on them. He had love in His heart for the Israelites, because what father wouldn't love his own kid? What parent doesn't love their child? There's good news today, church. Right now, in the state that you're currently in, no matter how bad it might seem right now, I'm here to tell you, God has pity and mercy and love on you right now. And all He's waiting for, all He's All he's been waiting for, all he's ever wanted to hear is, "Hey, God, it's me. I need to tell you something." God wants to hear from you this morning. But you can't hear the voice of God if you're not seeking after it first. Seeking God means that you're going to have to sacrifice a lot of things. You'll have to give up some friends. You'll have to give up some property. You'll have to give up a lifestyle that you have known all of your life. But I'm telling you right now, if you truly seek God the way that you're supposed to, and you are in His Word, and you're in prayer, and you are just seeking His face in everything that you do, I promise you the life that He has in store for you could never compare to the one that you had without Him. Dr. O'Neill, do you remember what life was like before you were a Christian? I say, do you know what life is like now that you've become one? Would you give up the life you have now for the one you had back then? No. Doug, what about you? Do you remember what life was like before you became a Christian? Yes. And now that you have, and now that you are? Never. Anybody else remember what life was like before you became a Christian? And now that you have it, now that you've been seeking God and you have seen what He can do for you, would you trade in your old, would you trade in your new life for the one you had before? But you've got to seek Him first. He's waiting. If the Bible is anything, it is a love letter from God who is waiting to hear from His most cherished creation. But we've got to seek Him. We've got to seek Him first. And that means getting out of the cycle. That means following Him because you want to, not because someone else is. It means you've got to follow Him in spite. You continue to follow Him even when He's delivered on His promises. And you follow Him even when the world thinks it's giving you something better. That's what it means to seek God. Worship team, you guys get ready to give us a song. Dr. O'Neill, would you care to join me up here, please? I want you all to do me a favor this morning. I want everybody here under the sound of my voice, I want you to stand to your feet for me this morning for just a moment. And as the worship team prepares to come up and give a song, you guys just play softly for a minute. I want everybody here under the sound of my voice, I just want you to bow your head and I want you to close your eyes for me for just a moment. And as the worship team plays, I'm going to ask you all some questions. And I want you to dig deep into the farthest, deepest parts of your heart. This is a time for reflection. It's a time to start searching. My first question is, if you are here this morning, you've heard the words of the sermon and the testimony and the song, and it has dawned on you that right now, in this place, you are lost and undone without the love of God in your life. You're saying, "Jake, I have never sought God. I have sought everything but Him, and I know that I'm lost and undone without Him." If that's you here today, I want you to just very quietly, I want you to lift up your hand and say, "Jake, I want you to remember me before you leave here this morning. Campbellsville University, I want you to remember me before you leave here this morning." If there's anybody here, just lift a hand. Say, "Lord, I want you to remember me before I leave here." Would there be a hand? Maybe you're here this morning. My second question. Maybe you walked into church this morning and you have just brought some burdens with you. You're saying, "Jake, this week has been absolutely terrible. The last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, have just been awful. And I've come into church this morning and I've got some burdens that have weighed me down and it's caused me to stop seeking God and start seeking help in other things. And I just need to cast my burdens at the feet of the one person I know can take them away." you're here this morning and that's you, you're saying, I've got some burdens I need to have taken care of today, would you just lift a hand? Say, I want you to remember me. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Would there be another? Be honest, church. God already knows. God already knows your situation, but He can't help unless you want to be helped. Would there be another hand? Say, I've got some burdens in my life that I just need to lay down at the feet of the Master, and I want you all to pray for me. Would there be another hand? Thank you for that hand. Would there be somebody else? Maybe you're here this morning and it's just been a while since you've told God how good He is. God has delivered on some promises for you here in the last little bit, and you just didn't have the time to thank Him. Well, now's your chance. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just saying, God, you've been so good to me, and now I just want to say thank you for who you are and for what you've done. If that's you today, would you just lift a hand and say, God, I just want to thank you for who you are. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. I see hands going up all over the church. Would there be another? Thank you for that hand. God, I just want to thank you for being so good and for loving me the way that you do, even when I didn't deserve it. I'm going to close with this as the team begins to sing. If you're here this morning, whether you raised your hand or whether you didn't, if you've got some things that you need to lay down at the feet of the Master, this stage, this altar is open. And the only thing that God is asking of you right now is to come. The guy sang "Just As I Am" a little while ago, and I love that song. The song ends with two very simple words, three simple words. Jesus, I come. The altar is open. Mind the Lord. Seek Him because He's already seeking you.